Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, iHeartRadio, you know the deal. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And unfortunately, this may be the work of Satan, but our usual co-host Nicole can't make it today. And we may be joined by my former co-host Hannah, because this is one of her favorite subjects that we'll be talking about today. But she had a plumbing incident at her house, so she may not be making it tonight. But who is making it? Yeah, you know, like I say, it could be the work of the devil. I don't know. But wow. I will tell you, yes, it was your fault. I will tell you that I am joined by somebody. As people know, I do an unusual gig. Sharon LeVay asked me to host a beauty pageant for her at her club, at her event a couple months ago, and I saw this stunning beauty was introduced as the first contestant. I said, well, the contest is over. There's nobody that's going to top her. And funnily enough, nobody showed up. So apparently she won by default. And then we got to talking and we really vibed and found out she's a high priestess in the Order of the Black. The Black Flame Sun. I knew I would get that wrong. And she is fascinating. She's wonderful. And it's so great to finally talk to her again. Always busy. You know, High Priestess is never, there's never a dull moment. It's Lucevoir von der Stupan. Von der Stupan. Okay. Von der Stupan. That's even better. Von der Stupan. Now
The first person to say it now.
It all makes sense now. Oh, I'm never gonna mistake von der Stupan for anything else from here on in. Every time I think of you, I'm gonna think von der Stupan. But how are you, Lucevoir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. You've asked me that quite a few times, and I'm doing never better. And I'm so great. I'm so glad to talk to you because we're gonna talk all things evil, satanic, magic, self-improvements, all sorts of things. So magic, all sorts of things. How do you become a high priestess? What that entails, everything like that. So I better get my energy up because you are quite energetic yourself. So I've got this. Here it is. Yes, there we go.
Oh, nice. Let me get my drink quick.
Yes, that's a Ray's energy drink. This is the only drink that's sponsoring the show. That's Ray's energy drink. And you can drink whatever you want, but if you like energy drinks, and it sounds like you do, you don't have to cover it up. You can drink whatever you want. But I'll tell you what, if you like energy drinks as much as I do, get Ray's because this is the best. This is Baja lime flavor, tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell, but better.
Really?
Zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. You can get you can get them at Vitamin Shops, GNCs, but why pay full price? Use the code in our description and get 15% off a case of Ray's. So, Lucevoir, when did your interest in Satan and all things satanic start?
I would say I was born a Satanist.
Okay.
You know, I think, like, throughout my family life, I kind of had to suppress that, you know, my family upbringing, religion, all that stuff. But I think I really came into my Satanism when I was in my 20s.
I kind of gathered this, but you were raised in a very religious household, unlike myself.
Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of Satanists are.
Yeah. Well, my grandma, she was always really into nature. We had big gardens. She was really, I would say, a witch, you know? Mm-hmm. And my dad was a pastor. My mom was a missionary. That's how they met. So we grew up in a very religious home. He would have us go down for prayers, like, all the time. Like, it was very religious. But it never made sense to me. I was, like, being out in nature and being free and all that stuff, that made sense to me. That was, like, okay, like, you know, a child, like, it sat right with my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the whole religious thing, I was, like, even as a child, this does not make sense. It just causes so much dysfunction and self-hatred, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And every preacher's daughter is like wild. Were you the stereotype? they're always the wildest ones. You just those are the ones that you got to look out for.
I don't know about that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I think you were, even before you discovered Satanism, I think you were pretty wild in your teenage years. I would guess.
No, actually, let me see. I think once it came out to California, because I was raised in Kansas, you know, good old Dusty.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where I grew up at. So when we came to California, that really, like, opened the door to this whole nother world. You know, I really, as a teenager, I started getting the rave scene, and that really, like, opened the doors to the whole nother world for me. And it was just, like, all out on that, because it was something I'd never experienced before. The whole scene, like, the whole queer life, the love, the, yeah.
The ecstasy.
The community, the ecstasy, like the outfits, like getting to like just go and be somebody else, you know, get side out of the mundane life and just go and be Easter.
So you had the big JNCO jeans and all that?
No, not those. I had the little tutu skirts with the fishnet leggings and the cute little top and all bright colors and the hand lights, candy.
I went to raves all the time. Yeah, absolutely.
We used to go like back when they would like you'd have to call the hotline the day of and be out in the middle of the desert and then you'd find out and like go show right. up there.
I remember those. No, those are the best. Like the ones that are the ones, you know, the ones that were okay but not great are the ones like that you they advertise and you saw on social media. The one you had to call people and know somebody and that type of thing.
Yeah.
It was out in the desert and nowhere. Those were the best.
Even like the ones out there in LA and the industrial buildings, and everybody has like the designer drugs and like, you know?
Yeah. So from a Kansas, from a small town in Kansas to, geez, you just exploded.
I went wild.
Yeah. So well, you're a preacher's daughter. That's what happens.
It's one of those things that was a fun scene while it lasted. And now everything's mostly mainstream, you know?
That's everything. I mean, that's what Satanism has got to be in a few years, I think.
I think we're right there.
It's funny because like in the 70s, it was. There had a lot of celebrities, Sammy Davis Jr. and all these celebrities that were hanging out with Anton LaVey. And it was really mainstream at one point. Like porn. That was about as big as it got.
Well, I like to say, you know, as they say, history repeats itself, you know, and I like to think that we're going through a time where it's repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like fun times to live in.
Yeah.
Panic.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Well, I guess, yeah, now that I think about it, the 80s too, because every heavy metal group really got into the Satan thing. And it was funny because gangster rap killed that off.
Yeah. How stupid.
Yeah. It was like the kids were like, you know, bringing home like, you know, gangster records in the early 90s. And their parents were like, no, here's some satanic stuff. Please get back to this. We want some more Ozzy.
Right, I love that, and it's so funny because most people they're like, "Oh no, it's not satanic." Like, yeah, it is. Honestly, come on now.
No, we're gonna get into that because you're on the inside, so I want to know what's really satanic and what's really not. Because I've had the late Stanton LaVey on a couple times, and I asked him a lot of inside questions, and he never answered, but I know he knew the answers. So,
well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You can usually tell a Satan is, you know, Satan is, I think, have gone forward and accomplished stuff. And you can always tell by their artwork.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, symbolism, all that kind of stuff. It's all in there, black and white.
Oh, okay. All right, but how do you know if somebody's just playing around with it or just goofing or somebody's really serious?
I think it's like an art, you know? It's like, let's say you're a wine taster, you know? Somebody that just drinks normal wine. They're not really going to have that taste developed for a finer wine that's been developed over time to distinguish, right? And stuff,
right.
Like same thing with Satanism and the cult, you know, you can tell as somebody who practices, you can tell if that person like is somebody that's an evolved practitioner and by how they're using symbolism, how they're using their energy, how they're using artistic skill and different things.
It's like every rapper's like doing this. Every rapper's doing like this stuff with their, you know, putting the, you know, doing the Illuminati symbols and all that. Mm-hmm. So Jay-Z and Beyonce, they're definitely Satanists. Let's be clear, right?
Yeah, I think there's some that just like the whole, like, you know, just it looks cool. It adds another layer of like mysteriousness.
All right. See, you're not answering either. So nobody wants to out them. But I want to talk about you. So you were going to the raves. You were getting wild in California. Now, when did you start developing an interest in Satanism, and what drew you to it?
Oh, let's see. I would say, okay, so I've always been into magic ever since like a young age. Like I said, my grandma was like a witch, and she was really into nature. And that's what made sense to me, that underlying energy, that force that's in there that radiates through everything, that balance in the universe, you know? Mm-hmm. So I always seen that there. I was always very perceptive to that. And I think not until like I moved out of my family's house and I was on my own in the world and doing my own thing that I really got to start like looking into like other things besides what I was taught and raised with, right? And I remember going, like, even when I was at home, like, I could get access to the computer, right? So I remember going on the old Church of Satan website, and, like, I thought it was the coolest thing ever, you know? And, but I had to be, like, really hush-hush about it at that time in my life, because I was a teenager in a religious home, so it was kind of something, you know, we didn't really want to disclose. Family, that would, like, freak my mom out. So I think it was like my 20s that I actually went out and bought my book, my first like satanic Bible book, and then bought like all Anton LaVey's work and started reading through that. And like really, he leaves like little gold nuggets, you know, in the deeper, deeper magical cult works. But I think that's really when I started to get into Satanism. And at that time, that's when I started getting into adult entertainment and dancing, and I was working as a dancer.
Okay.
And, I feel like it led from the cards like life dealt me, like to what I had started doing at that point in life that was very empowering for me as a woman. Like it allowed me the opportunity to go to pay for myself to go to school to help raise my brother and sisters. Sure. But yet it was something that was looked down upon by my family and by like society that I was a dancer and doing all these things. But at the same time, like I was sober, I was clean, and I built a good life from nothing, you know, for myself. Yeah. And when I got into Anton LaVey's work, especially the Satanic Witch, that's one thing I really seen that he empowered that part. Because it's like, okay, we got the part of religious, what religious contests said we should and shouldn't do. And then we got the part of human nature, you know? And I think that's a thing that Anton LaVey touched on really well, was his experience during the carnival, how he's talking about how you got these church goers, that they're one person during the day, you know? Mm-hmm. Kind of colder than that, but at night they're over here at the strip club doing all this stuff. But it's the same. Right. It's the same thing I've seen. You know, I'm like, okay, well, this is how human nature is. You know, like it's oldest profession in history, right? So I feel like that's how I really got into Satanism, was that empowered me as an individual, empowered me as a woman to take authority and power over that, not having to feel that I had to go the route of having family and being married and all those things in order to have like some type of value in life. But distinguishing my value for who I am as an individual and my own creativity and being able to tap into my own femininity and power.
Yeah. Well, being at a strip club, you're definitely powerful. And there's nothing, there's no shame in being a dancer or an adult entertainer. There's a shame in being a man sitting at a strip club. I know, because I've done it a couple times. And it's just, they're the ones that are like.
I feel like. At that point in my life, like a lot of people deserted me because I became a dancer. Like, because I became a dancer, I took the reins by myself and I was like, you know, I'm gonna do this on my own. I'm gonna like, I built myself up a life from nothing. And like, everybody deserted me that. And then they see I have all this money coming in, I'm living a great life, and then they start slowly want to come dwindle in, you know? And, but you know what? I feel like my clients in that industry, they were my family, they were my, like, my best friends.
Right.
You know, they accept me for who I was.
Well, you're putting them in the ultimate friend zone.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, but like, they were like family to me. They were people that like, taught me a lot. I learned a lot from those men.
Mm-hmm. I met the guys. So, the women, there's definitely camaraderie. The guys you're putting in a permanent friend zone, you know that.
It's a business.
I know. I know. I know. And you were very good at it, apparently.
Yeah. For me, I have a different outlook on relationships. You know, I've seen so many people go say they place so much value on a marriage, and yet at night they're in the strip club with us, you know?
Well, yeah, you got to see that. You got to see people that went into a church.
There's no true value on the oath that's been taken. So to me, I don't see, like, if you're going to take an oath, like, that's something that I would take in, like, I consider that a luxury that takes investment and work on, right? Not something
if you went to a church and you promised before God, till death do us part, you will not covet anybody's neighbor, and they're going to the strip club looking at you.
Yeah. And you know what, though? I think, like, from my experience, the most lovingest, happiest couples I've seen that have been together for a long time, like 30 plus years, and are still madly in love and happy are, like, relationships where they're going out there and they're exploring their sexual side together. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes sense to me. Like, you're going to go, why, if you're in your relationship, why are you going to go high to have fun? And
swingers?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, like, from my experience, most people are great. There's no,
yeah. I don't know. See, the thing is, I'm so sexually inexperienced that I don't know. I'm always like, well, every time I try to date more than one woman at once, it just never happens. It never works out. It just either I try to juggle and then I drop them all, or I choose one over the other. That's just the way I'm wired. But I haven't been in a relationship that's lasted that long that it's like, okay, let's start swinging. So.
It's so funny you say that. I've been in relationships like that where there was me and a girl and a guy. And it's just like, I wish it could work out, but something always happens, you know?
Right. Dating two women separately, I can't even do that. Much less date them both together. But, you know, if you think I got that kind of game, then yeah, sure. But well, still.
I'm trying to figure out how to make it work out like that, you know?
I can't even do that. Like, okay, I'm dating two people at once, but... And this is what, your early 20s? You really got to explore your sexuality, or you didn't? It was just a job for you.
I feel like, okay, when I got married at a young age, I got married, I had my first daughter at like 18, and I got married around that same time. So like, I went like boom, 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 doing all these major life decisions, you know? And right. I never got to like figure out who I was. I never got to like go out and travel the world and explore. Like I was just like boom, 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 like got married, did this stuff. So I went through some crazy things. I married and left that relationship. And like I was looking for a job left and right, you know, to take care of me and my child. And I went to strip club, got hired. They're like, come back the next day and you start. I remember I sat in the car for 6 hours the next day, like thinking like, I don't know if I should do this, you know? But once I got in there, I started making more money in one night than I made like in 2 weeks working two jobs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then like I kind of started realizing like I don't ever have to like go without, like I don't ever have to like depend on a relationship to like mm-hmm. have a sense of purpose.
Actually, you're the second guest in a row. We just taped a show with adult film star Sophia Rose. Similar story. She had a child at 15. She got married and then it didn't work out, and then she discovered that apparently there are men with bigger dicks out there than her husband. And then she just, she got into the adult industry and she's very successful. So, and it, you don't have to necessarily be in the adult industry, but you should never have to rely on a man or a woman for happiness. You have to be self-sufficient, and you can be self-sufficient, anybody.
And I feel like that comes a lot back to Satanism, you know, that self-empowerment. Like, I feel like there's no greater gift that you can give yourself than to figure out what makes you happy in life that doesn't come from an outside source, you know, being able to tap into that creativity and like love yourself for that creativity within you and like really see that blossom. Like that's mm-hmm. something nothing can take away from you, you know?
Right.
Like finding your spark in life. That inner Luciferian spark.
And what is your Luciferian spark?
This.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm
an entertainer.
You're an entertainer. Now So this leads to the misconceptions about Satanism, because I've talked about this a few times on our podcast, mm-hmm. both with Stan and also Knifer, the satanic rapper, and other guests that we've had. In that, what do you think are the misconceptions when you tell people you're a Satanist? I'm sure a lot of people just recoil.
Oh, Mark, my life, like I'm
not to mention a satanic high priestess.
I have gone through so much. Because of like my, and it's not like a belief system. It's just tapping into your inner power and using that energy to create the life that you want, be the person you want to be, regardless of like outside of like a fear-based religious, like, you know, telling you that you can't be this one, you have to be this one. If you're going to try to step outside that box, you're going to be punished. Like that's mm-hmm. total bullshit, you know? Right. That was the case that a lot of these people that have accomplished great things in life, they would be punished already for what they accomplished, you know?
So when you tell people you're a Satanist, they're like, ooh.
Yeah, the misconception on that, you know? And I think it really comes from the media and movies and, like, the whole satanic panic stuff, you know, and the freak out stuff. It's all for show. Like, you know, the church would like to take all that stuff and blow it away, because then it's, that's a whole, you can have a week's worth of entertainment or a month's worth of entertainment on that stuff, you know?
Right.
So I think, like, the misconception is people cut, like, when they meet me, they're like, oh, that's, she's a cult leader, she's a satanic witch, is that, mm-hmm. like, they get freaked out, you know? But I'm like, I'm just me, like, I'm a happy, cheery person, I'm going to do me, like, regardless of what everybody thinks, but, like.
But you are a cult leader, but you are a cult leader and a satanic witch.
I am, but that's besides the point, no. In real life, I'm just me, you know? And yes. And the funny thing is, it's like, we're not going around trying to murder people. We're not going around killing cats and, like, murdering babies and all this stuff, you know? And it's mm-hmm. so funny that, like, to me, I'm like, if you can't see past that and laugh about it, like, then it's good. Then you shouldn't be scared away by it.
Okay.
It's like, you know?
Right. Well, this is why I... organized religion doesn't work for me, and that's why I'm a Buddhist, is because the whole thing with any religion is that there's one way, and if you don't do it, you're going to be punished, you're going to go to hell or whatever else. And to me, that I don't subscribe to that. If there is a heaven, if there is an afterlife, which I don't know there is, I you know, there are good people in every religion that are going to be, you know, they're good. I mean, even if we're discounting heaven and hell, there are good people in every religion, and that's in every philosophy.
Yeah.
So you can't say, okay, we're the only good people. That doesn't work for me.
Yeah. And then they were all human beings just trying to, like, live a hopefully good life, you know?
Right.
And have some joy and laugh along the way.
Right. Well, and it seems like Satanists seem to have more joy and laughter than anybody else. Now,
you have to laugh, right? You have to, like, life can be ugly and dark and all these things, but, like, you gotta laugh, you know, even if it's just a joke, that's still how we get through it.
Well, you had a recent video on mirth and laughing and the power of laughter.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's about time somebody, because a lot, that's the other thing about Satanism, is that sometimes it can be a little too serious, in my opinion. I think people get a little intimidated. I mean, it's an act. You can laugh. I think it's hilarious, but a lot of people are like, bleh. Like, when I saw you, I went to the Sharon's event, which I thought was great. But they had a DJ Witch House, WHICH. And it was funny because somebody asked me, they're like, do you like Witch House? And I thought they were talking about the style of music.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that the DJ's name was Witch House. I'm like, yeah, I like Witch House. He's like, yeah, he's doing good. And he had his face painted vertically, black and white stripes, which I didn't get until he started DJing, and he blended it into the background. But
that
he had a microphone.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then he had a microphone that was all distorted, and he would just, like, in the middle of playing music. Satan. I thought it was hilarious.
You know who he reminded me of? You know, on the Nightmare Before Christmas, the boogeyman?
Mm-hmm.
He reminded me of that guy.
Yeah, he was really trying for that. And so, and, you know, and the rituals and all of that. I just think, I don't know, some people tend to take it real seriously. And I know, you know, once again, a couple times I had Stanton LaVey on the show. I think he really enjoyed it, because I was not a sycophant, and I was not just like bowing down like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And also I had a sense of humor about it, which I don't think anybody does, because I've heard him on other shows and they're just like, please tell me what to do, and just really serious. And
Were people
intimidated by him, and I was not. He was a nice guy, and yeah, he passed away in December. People don't know, but a lot. Well, I mean, because he was, you know, his grandfather, you know, wrote the book and was the founder of the Church of Satan, so he's got that bloodline in him. And people, you've seen it. You saw how people treat Sharon, his wife, his widow.
Yeah,
you see people go up to her and just like just cower. I mean, you're a high priestess. People cower to you, don't they?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I've gone through a lot of stuff. And it's sad. It's sad. It's so sad. It breaks my heart that people have that mentality, you know? And but at the same time, this is how I see it. Especially with all these things going on with the stuff in the church and all this, like, stuff with, like, sexual abuse and stuff like that. I think, like, especially, like, people have this mindset that, like, a title or a being tied to a certain religious or belief system makes you a good or bad person. At the end of the day, like, everybody's human being, and they all are capable of bad and good things. So regardless if somebody has a title of being a priest in a religious organization, doesn't mean that that person is not capable of bad things, right?
Sure.
Just like me and Sharon, like, just because we're satanic witches and we're a satanic high priestess doesn't mean, like, that we're all bad or that we're all good people. At the end of the day, we're just human beings dealing with life just like anybody else.
And how did you become a high priestess? How does one do that? This is funny because your father was he was high up in the church, and now you are. You're following it's a family tradition, but in a weird way.
Well, what better way to revolt against religion, right?
Right. So how do you become a high priestess? How did you who deigned you a high priestess?
I would say,
and what does that entail?
A lot of work. A lot of work. You know what they say on the pyramid, right? Mm-hmm. It takes all this work to, like, create the little show that people get to see, you know?
Okay. So Satanism is a pyramid scheme, is what you're saying.
No, I'm sure you can relate to this as an artist, right? Right, Mark? It's like, you know, people see your show, right?
Mm-hmm.
They see the little top point of your show.
Yes.
They don't see all the bottom hard work that you put into creating that show.
Oh, that's for sure.
Make it happen. And I think it's the same thing with the high priestess, you know? Like, there's a lot of work that goes into doing all that. It keeps me busy, you know?
Two, three times a week, people either come up to me, how do I become a stand-up comedian, or how do I become a podcaster? It's like, it's a lot of work.
Fucking hard work.
It's a lot of fucking hard work, but people don't want to see that. And that's the thing. Let me ask you this, Lucevoix, because everybody is a narcissist now, and everyone wants the spotlight on them, and that social media has a lot to do with it, but nobody wants to put in the work. Am I wrong? I mean, what do we do about this narcissistic society? Because not everybody deserves to have the spotlight on them like you. Not everybody's put the hard work in like you, but
yeah. I think it comes into, like, the strong will survive. The people that put the work in, like, the proof's in the pudding. You're not gonna accomplish something great without putting in a lot of fucking hard work.
Right.
You know, people, like, you can go host a show, Mark, but unless you have that energy behind it, it's not gonna do shit.
Right.
Unless you have connection with people, it's not gonna do anything.
Right.
You know?
So what's the first step to becoming a high priestess? So what was the first amount of hard work you had to put in?
I would say a lot of it has to go to my sobriety.
Right.
My sobriety.
Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. You might see this now, but I was wrecked.
Right.
I would say, okay, so it goes back with my sobriety, and it's one of those things I feel like it came to me as much as, like, it's something that I helped manifest as well. Where would I start? I officially came in with organization in 2020, and it's still something, it's a secret thing. It's not really open to the public as of yet.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's really something I actually want to go. Anyways.
So this during the pandemic is when you started pursuing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I was up north growing a lot of weed and got really connected with nature. I was growing a lot of weed.
and then you got sober, or?
Well, I think my addiction, you know, I think it starts at a young age. It starts, it's there, you know? I struggled though with, like, a lot of self-inflicted harm, and then it grew to eating disorders. And then, like, once, I started self-medicate with over-the-counter medications, and that just evolved over time. My last run, I was on fentanyl.
Oh.
On my arm, you know?
Ooh.
But now I have 2 years clean.
Good for you.
So, but I know, like, and I think it comes, like, with the industry I was in too, you know, there's a lot of partying, you know? And, So I would say, like, I really started, like, the idea really came to me about putting the Order of the Black Flame Sun together when I was up north. And really wanted to do something that embraces Satanism and empowers individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I've really been able to tap into, like, getting a lot of momentum with my sobriety, doing the shadow work. Mm-hmm. really figuring out who I am. And like, you know, now I'm doing things on my life to help cultivate that and create it. So, yeah.
And who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah, since you figured it out.
I'm an entertainer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure. Now, what is the Black Flame Sun? Because you're the you're the high priestess. So so you've got an order. So what is the Black Flame Sun?
The Black Flame Sun is that flame inside of soul, that creative spark, that spark of consciousness.
Okay.
That you have. I feel like as part of that shadow work, you know, we go inside and we have to face, and even like I think it ties in so strong with sobriety and the 12-step programs, all that stuff. It's like, and I feel like the 12-step programs are very satanic in their own right.
Really? Right?
Yes.
Don't they have the serenity prayer and all that?
And how so it is, I would compare it as like, you know, man, we create our own gods, right? We create our own belief system. We create these things.
Right.
We tap into some type of higher consciousness and we are able to like, manifest these things, and that's part of like put that program. It's coming to understanding of your own higher power.
Mm-hmm.
So you're creating your own conscious connection to something within you, and being able to go with part of that heart phase recovery is going into diving down into yourself and dealing with those traumas and those underlying wounds to be able to become the highest possible version of yourself.
Right.
And that's what I would describe as the black flame, that black flame within us all.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an order. That's an order I'd like to get in. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm not sure I'm the only. To have you as a high priestess, I'm sure is quite quite special. I'm sure plenty of men have been lured in.
Well, we got members all around the world right now, but. As far as public access, it's not really something that's open to the public.
Right. But, I mean, you recently had a poster giveaway, so I'm sure that was quite...
Oh, yeah.
Quite a clamor for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
We had our winner, yeah.
But, and speaking of men, and I'm just going to sidetrack here, but you must love a great-smelling man.
A great-smelling man?
There's nothing sexier than a great smelling man, is there?
Of course.
Yeah. So, guys, if you want to smell great, get Tactical Soap. It's pheromone infused soap. They have three kinds: Maverick, Bond, and Dirted. And they have three different types of that. They have deodorant. They have lotions. Go get Tactical Soap. Go to the description in the podcast catcher and be a great smelling man and be the sexiest man you can be. So. Order of the Black Flame Sun. So we should all get into the Black Flame, because I was watching some of your videos on magic, and you were saying how you could become the best person you could be, and you could basically take everything, all your hopes and dreams on the inside, and manifest them.
Of course.
And tell me how to do that.
A lot of hard work.
I guess so.
And I think that's the humor in all, you know, and people, I think the majority of people, like you're saying, these narcissists, they want this quick, easy, like, let's have it right now. We're going to get what we want right now. But it takes a lot of hard work, you know, and I think that's the thing when it comes to magic and the occult, is it takes a lot of work, a lot of, even ritual takes a lot of work, investment of a lot of work and transforming your energy, you know, like in order to have something come into your life, you have to open those pathways for the correct energy to happen to manifest those things in your life, you know? So if you want to acquire fame, you got to start working on yourself and developing your skills to like get at that level where that can come into your life, you know? It's the attraction. Yeah.
So what's the difference between that and the law of attraction?
It works very much the same.
Mm-hmm. So this is magic with a C and a K.
C and a K, yes.
Right. So what's the difference between magic with a C, magic with a K, and magic with a C and a K?
Magic with a C is more of a mainstream thing. Mm-hmm. Magic with a K is goes back into like the order to Crowley's order. Mm-hmm. Aleister Crowley.
Right.
The OTO.
Mm-hmm.
Or Templars, yeah.
Yes, the OG Satanist. We know Aleister Crowley. Mr. Crowley. Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
But how does when you combine the C with the K, what does that do?
It's just the way he spelled it. He chose to spell it to differentiate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if it's just with a K, what is that? You can tell I'm not very magical.
It's kind of like putting the doctor on there, you know? Like, it's just a name.
Right.
The doctor on it. And now it's something different. Now it adds a different hook to it. Authority.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll take your word for it. I'm trying to prove myself. Go ahead.
You're not word versed in the occult or magic systems or anything like
no,
that.
No, I wish I was. And I mean, I have friends that are, but I'm not. Like I say, I'm not a Satanist, and Nicole does and Hannah does and my friends do, but I don't deal in magic. I don't deal in, I'm not averse to it, but I just don't, should I?
Well, I would say, okay, so I guess that's another, something that people could like not understand fully when it comes to being a Satanist. Like, just because somebody's a Satanist does not mean they practice in the occult with magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. Right.
It's like religion. There's all these different types of religion. There's all these different types of magic orders as well, you know? Like, you mm-hmm. got the Golden Dawn, and that's using different god names and different things like that, and they actually do reference it, the Bible and stuff like that.
Right.
And then you have the OTO that is more around the Golden Dawn that Aleister Crowley went off and created, the OTO. Mm-hmm. So there's mm-hmm. different orders, and they don't all tie in with Satan. They don't tie in with Satan. But
right.
they do tie in with more of a Luciferian name.
Okay. And what and here's the thing, because I've asked a couple of people this, but Satanism, from what I understand, from what most people define it as, my Satanist friends, is that it's really it's just being, you know, responsible for yourself and mm-hmm. your own happiness. But
yeah.
if that's the case, why bring Satan and Lucifer and all of those images into it?
I feel it's part of a statement, like a protest, like, hey, religion has tried to like demean human potential for so long and destroy, like, especially Christianity, you know,
mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Church, and cover up and suppress the voice of the people. And I think that's really kind of like the showmanship of it is like, we could choose any, we could be like, it's the energy field of light, you know,
mm-hmm.
or the quantum field. There's many terms for one thing. You know, you go into a store and you look at cameras, there's many brands. You can pick which brand you want.
Right.
Same thing with that. But I feel like it's more of a statement. It's more of a showmanship. Like, hey, we're tired of having our voices suppressed. We're tired of being told that we don't have control of our bodies. We have to be this and that. You know, it's like a showmanship, like a statement.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you definitely make statements. I mean, you, and speaking of shows and statements, now I've heard a lot of your old podcasts and a lot of your old YouTube videos,
mm-hmm.
and you put on like an affected like British accent. What was that?
I was just playing it out. I was trying stuff out.
It was like, it's weird because some things I'm like, you know, you talk like this and then it's like, hello, this is Lucy. Like you're in Downton Abbey or something. I don't know what's going on.
I just wanted to play with it, try it out, and see how it felt, you know?
And you didn't stick with it?
No,
I didn't. Oh, okay. I was just wondering if that was a Somerset thing.
I think it was just me.
Oh, okay. So what was the last thing you manifested? I'm very intrigued by this. Besides the show, obviously, you got to be on the Dark Mark show. But other than that, what was the last thing you manifested?
I would say the fact that I'm here, alive, mm-hmm. doing this mm-hmm. podcast with you is something manifested.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
The proof's in the pudding. There you go.
Proof's in the pudding. And oddly enough now, and I've been listening to a lot of your stuff, and you say that there's like the left side energy and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm left-handed. What does that mean?
You're left-handed, that means you use the right side of your brain.
Okay. So every time you say left, I should think right.
Yes.
Or does that mean I'm
opposite.
Aligned? Properly aligned, and the 90% of the world that's right-handed are not
You're
properly
different.
Aligned. Well, I definitely am. Well, I definitely am.
You're special.
Well.
Obviously, some would, you manifested this, you know?
Some would say this. Well, no, I manifested this, but I also messaged you about 20 times to try to get a date together, and we finally got it together today, but that's a whole other story.
I wanted to make sure everything was proper prepared for you.
I'll bet you did.
That special too, Mark.
Oh, geez. Thank you so much. So as a high priestess, I mean, you know, it's quite a responsibility. Now, how many other priests and priestesses are in your order?
It's just me.
Oh, okay.
Priestess right now.
Okay.
I haven't opened the doors to bringing anybody else in yet. I'm mm-hmm. still growing and doing, you know, life is going on.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, like, I would love to invest all my time fully in just doing the order and really creating things that open to the public. But at this time, you know, I also got to keep me together, mm-hmm. you know? So it's one of those things that's coming together.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, no, that's good. I mean, it's, you know, it's spreading. I mean, if you start, I can only imagine starting an order or religion. That's it. There's a lot to it. And you're going to school. So you got like, you know.
And I'm going to school. I have so many meetings. I go to so many things I'm doing right now. I have, you know, along with the addict lifestyle came legal repercussions. And right now I'm dealing with legal repercussions. So that's something that it's kind of keeping me, I still got ball and chain going on right now.
Oh, geez.
So once we move forward with that, then I think that's really going to get some more momentum with stuff. But right now, it's more of inner working stuff.
Right. So, you know, it's a lot of people, they have, you know, they work, they go to school, they got busy lives. You got work, you go to school,
and you know what?
You're organizing your satanic order, you know, you got things going on.
And I think that's part of like being like, anybody can accomplish anything they want to in life. It's just making the sacrifice, the routine and the schedule necessary to create that, you know?
Yeah, you could become a high priestess if you really want to. Now,
you can go from drug addict, adult entertainer, to doing this.
Yes. don't define yourself as a drug addict. You're not, you overcame that. I mean, that's just that's a part of your past. But it doesn't define you.
No.
It shouldn't define you.
It's my angel and my demon.
Yeah, well, we all have that.
My light. We all have that, you know?
Right. But how ironic.
But that's part of magic, is learning to play with those both, you know?
Oh, is that what you do? That's what I've been doing wrong. How do you balance the angel and the devil? Because it seems like, especially,
it's,
you know, you're like,
work.
Yeah. And if drug abuse is your devil and you're embracing the devil, isn't that a contrary message?
No.
Okay.
Like, I know what my dark is, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that I can acknowledge my dark means that I know I can do things every day to keep that devil in check.
Okay. Right? All right.
So I can be that higher self of myself and like be able to accomplish what I accomplished in life.
Okay. Yeah. So
I think that's when ignorance comes in play. That's when it's just a mess.
Yeah. Well, you know. That's what I'm trying to find out, because I don't know anything about this. I mean, I know I know more than a lot of people, but I don't know, you know, I hear all the rumors. I hear like there's satanic messages in the Barbie movie. And do you have any confirmation on that?
The Barbie movie? I haven't watched it. I'm not like really a movie watcher.
Right. But people are saying, oh, there's some satanic content in the Barbie movie. And Mark, you know, Lil Nas X, he's playing around with devil imagery and all sorts of things. And you know, there's a rumor that the Satanist killed Juice WRLD, the rapper, and all sorts of things.
People love a good story.
Yeah.
You know, and I think at the end of the day, too, it adds a layer of fantasy to the mundane life.
Right.
You know.
What do you fantasize about?
What do I fantasize about?
Yeah.
World domination.
I can see that. You're well on your way. I mean, how far is your reach? When you say worldwide, what is the furthest person from you that is in your order? You don't have to say who it is, but who? What country?
All around the world.
Asia, Africa, Europe?
All of them.
Yeah? Oh, wow.
That's the magic of the internet, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Now, is the internet satanic? That's I think a lot of people would probably say yes. And probably say no, because is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I would like to say media is God.
Is it?
If it's posted on Facebook, then it has to be true.
Well, yeah, I've seen your posts, so they're all true. But so what is the future of the order for you? I mean, you say you're going to be dominating the world, but between now and then, what's going to be happening?
Right now, I'm enjoying entertaining.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm enjoying entertaining, bringing a little laughter and fun to the mundane life.
Yeah, I mean, and I was...
We will see what transpires out of that, but...
Well, you say that, but I've been listening to your podcast, and they tended to get like really deep, really fast. Like there was one you were with somebody, and first it was like, oh, we're gonna talk about sex. I'm like, oh, I'm all for that. And then it got really deep and got into child trafficking and all this other stuff. I'm like, I'm not into that.
Yeah,
it's a fascinating conversation, but it got a little deeper than I was expecting.
And I think that's the duality of the beast.
That's the duality of sex.
Duality of the beast. Mm-hmm.
But doesn't Satanism embrace all that?
Satanism embraces a healthy, balanced sexuality, not the harming and trafficking of human beings and exploitation.
Right.
You know, that's not something we condone, and I think that's another common misconception.
Right. Well, that's a total misconception, because I hear people all the time. They're like, this person's a pedophile, that person's a pedophile, and whether they are or not, they're like, oh, Satan's doing this, and it's like, and there's this whole moral divide of like, and Trump and other Republicans are exploiting it. Where, okay, everybody with a heart is not against child trafficking. That just goes without saying. But then, you know. People are making it a moral ground, and it should be understood.
And it's hard to touch one. It's a very hard process to touch on one thing and not come to touch the other thing.
Right.
They're so deeply interwoven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a direction that I really am wanting to take with Order of the Black Flame, is really addressing those underlying themes, mm-hmm. so that people can feel more comfortable coming out and talk about these things, so that they can go and get the help that they need to mm-hmm. evolve and not have to live in that sheltered, trauma-based mindset, you know? And a lot of times I felt like a lot of these things are something like people are looking at as outside sexual abuse and stuff, like it's coming from outside source, but a lot of times it's taking place inside people's families' homes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so sad that okay, I can sit here and talk about all the good that came out of me being in the adult entertainment industry, but there's also another layer that's the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's a certain type of mindset I think that has to be taken in for a woman to be able to do that as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of in my background, there was a lot of stuff that was going on in my home, you know? So it's like, like I say, the card we were dealt, like doing my inner healing work and shadow working, now I'm seeing like, oh, like maybe it wasn't so, maybe at the same time that I thought I was in control, that there was also underlying deeper things that already had set the fabric
mm-hmm.
of life. And the fact that a lot of these things are so hush-hush and like, not talked about, and I think it comes more from like the coming of a place of like, what do we do with these things when they come out in the family? You know, right. Do we send the person to jail? Like, do we keep it covered? Do we keep the family together? And the sad thing is that it's like women and people that end up in the industry, I think it's like the baby being thrown out with bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to address this, but let's just disown this one and let them go to the streets, and let's just count them as like a messed up person, when yet there's still a human being in that process, you know,
right?
That needs the acknowledgement of what's going on and what's happened, so that way they can go forward and get the healing that they need. And you know, mm-hmm. a lot of mental illness, a lot of different things span from stuff like that. And I think that's one of the things that touches my heart. It's my mom was raised in an orphanage, and she went to the children were human trafficked out there. And that greatly affected how my mom.
Mm.
And she was married. She was brought to the States by some weird man, you know, married off to a weird man. And I would like to say my dad's my dad, but he's just a weird guy that my mom married. And, you know, I think the stereotypes, I really don't like to talk about too much, it's hard, but like the stereotypes, you know, of like stuff that takes place for women to be able to do certain things like that, like it's not so far from the truth. You know, there's always truth to those rumors.
Well, unfortunately, the unfortunate thing is that not just in the adult industry, but every woman I've ever met in my life, and that includes my family members, there has been some degree of or some instance of sexual abuse at some point. Every single 100%. So is AI gonna finally crush us all, crush human beings? What's the satanic perspective on that?
Just like with everything, I think there's the good in the dark. And I feel that even with internet and the world closing in, become a much smaller place, I feel that there's always going to be people that misuse that for dark purposes, and there's going to be people that use that for good purposes, correct?
You would think so, yes.
A tool and
it seems like everybody's using it now to get out of work. They're using it to fill out their resumes and, doing their work for them.
Something could be a tool in one person's hand and another person's hand could be a weapon. Depends on the human being, right? At the same time, though, I feel that the way the internet's making the world a smaller place, it takes out a third-party business and it puts the power back in the hands of people. You know, along with that, I've heard a lot of people saying that, you know, AI is taking over the job of the people. But no, it's actually, I feel like if we look at the positive, the silver lining to that, it's actually giving people more time to spend with their family or spend on doing something creative or to put more power in their hands to create their own schedule. You know, people go do Uber on stuff, they get to create their own schedule, they get to invest that time in doing other things that they probably would have more, that they would like to do more with their time besides working a 9-to-5 job.
Sure.
There's a lot of benefits to AI as well.
But on the other hand, you've got crazy human beings like keep putting in, how would you kill people and dominate the world? And it just keeps rolling over and over and over again, coming up with ideas.
Heavy is the crown, but you know, the crown for the king, the words the crown is subject to the people, right?
Right. And you just radiate sexuality. You radiate sensuality. Just walk into a room. It's not just that you're that beautiful. You just have that. Like, wow.
Yeah. And I think that's like a blessing and a curse.
I don't have it. How do I get that? Do I have to join the order to get that? Is that what happens?
That's what you asked for. Yeah.
Well, maybe I do have it. I don't know. You were very flirty with me that night, but I don't think I have that. Like, I definitely don't have it as much as you do. That's for sure. I saw you walking around that night and just everybody's like, wow. And it's not just the dress you're wearing. It's not just the aesthetics. It was just, there's something that you just exude it.
Yeah.
Either you always had it or when you were in the adult industry, you developed it.
I think every woman has it. It's just hidden.
Not to the degree that you do.
Maybe it's magic.
Is that what it is? See, we're back to magic again. I got to get some magic in my life. I love talking to you. I can't wait to talk to you again. I might be in your neck of the woods soon, and we'll frolic in nature and do all of that. But
yes.
Before I let you go, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. And before I go, the thing I thought was the best thing about the research for you, you have a LinkedIn page. You can't get more evil than that.
I'm everywhere, okay? Mark, I'm everywhere.
So tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. Oh, no, I'm watching you too. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
You can get a hold of me on Facebook, TikTok. I believe I'll have to send you my links and then you can post it.
I will. Please.
But I know I'm on YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're on Twitter as well.
Yes.
I got some podcasts going on there.
And LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You have been a delight.
Yeah.
I could talk to you all day. And thank you so much for being on the show. Finally, we got you on. Mwah. And I'm Goth Comedian.
Better than expected.
And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.